All right, it is Butcher Box, everybody. With Butcher Box, you get peace of mind, ultimate convenience, and incredible value. You can now find high-quality meat and seafood you can trust. 100% grass-fed beef, free-range organic chicken, pork-raised, crate-free, and wild-caught seafood. You don't know what it's going to do. Humanely raised, no antibiotics or added hormones. The ultimate convenience, being delivered right to your doorstep and with free shipping always. The value is incredible. You get a variety of high-quality cuts, exclusive member deals, recipe inspirations, guides, tips, and hacks. Butcher Box is convenient. There's nothing like having everything you need for dinner right there in the freezer. The value is incredible and absolutely the best way to get quality food. With Butcher Box, you don't have to worry about what's for dinner. Today, Butcher Box is giving our listeners free ground beef for life for the life of your membership, plus an additional $20 off your first order. Use my link, butcherbox.com/burr, and use the code burr to get free ground beef for life plus $20 off your first box. That's butcherbox.com and code burr, B-U-R-R.
Hey, what's going on? It's Bill Burr, and it is time for the Thursday afternoon, just before Friday, Monday morning podcast, and why did I start doing that? I got to do it every time now, right? You got to give the crowd what they want. You know what I love, too, is I love that people listen to this, and I know that they have roommates, they have boyfriends, girlfriends that fucking hate this, and every fucking Thursday, you know, they got to listen to me obnoxiously yell like that, and I know right now, they're probably, oh, why do you listen to that guy? Shut the fuck off. I just want to take time right now to say I'm sorry to those of you in the background. I know it must be difficult, and also, you know what? Fuck you. I don't need you. Yeah, walk away. I don't give a fuck. Anyways, fucking Billy Red Velvet Pancakes is in a great fucking mood. That's how I've been eating lately. I'm still working out, but I'm gradually, the pooch is coming, the pooch is coming back, hanging over my under fucking whiz. I got to do something about today, push-ups, and then I'm going to skip rope. So anyways, I'm going on the road tomorrow. For 2 weeks, getting ready for the Madison Square Garden show, and for the first leg of it, it's going to be the Four Horsemen here. It's going to be me, Bartnick, Verzi, and Lawhead, and we're all going to the Notre Dame USC game this weekend. As far as I know, I think USC got rid of their coach. Is that what happened? Why? Because this is all fucking just. I didn't know I was going to talk about this. I'm like, why didn't I look it up? Why didn't I read about it? You know? Why do you run your fucking mouth without looking up some shit? USC coach. Let's see what comes up. Clay Helton. USC did a horrible thing to Steve Sarkisian because it had no choice. Oh, this guy was this guy boozing it up? Maybe I should call him up, see what he's doing now. Probably got time to do the tour, right? See if we can hang with them. USC did a horrible thing to Steve Sarkisian because it had no choice. The Trojans put their football future over the health of a person they supposedly cared about. This was probably the best case scenario. Oh, they put their football future over this guy. All right. We're seeing it in. It was not a good ending. Let's get started. Oh, God. Just say what he did. He entered treatment. Showed up drunk a couple of times. Oh, that's fucking great. I mean, that sucks because he lost a good job, but wouldn't you love to see tape of that? All right, everybody, take a fucking knee. Get around. Where's my whistle? Oh, it is right there. Sorry. That first half was fucking bullshit, you know? I know there was some communication problems between me and a quarterback. I can't do this. This is bad. This poor bastard. You know what? He's going to fucking... you know what? You got to tell you something. For a fucking drunk, look at him. He looks great. You know? It must be all that screaming and yelling running up and down the sidelines. I like that he wears the old school, you know, football coach black cleats, right? With the white stripe. That's unfortunate, huh? That's never fun, right? To make fun of a drunk that just lost his job. Somebody's a drunk and they do a face plant at work, but he still has his job. Then it's hilarious, right? whatever. Why am I bringing this up? I'm in a great mood. I didn't get fired for drinking. And that's one of the scariest things about my, you know, my job. I cannot get fired for drinking. I cannot get fired because I'm self-employed. I can be asked to leave wherever I'm at, but I'm still a comedian at the end of the day, right? Is that how it works? Well, I don't know, Bill. Why don't you keep drinking and figure it out? Anyway, so I'm in a great mood because I got the tour starts tomorrow. You know, we're all going to be, it's weird. We're starting with the dessert first. Usually we do the whole tour and then we do go to the game. But how it worked out is the game comes first. So we're all going to show up, you know, meet at the hotel bar. Whoever gets there first will probably already be there. I think Verzi gets there last, which means he's going to be come wheeling in his bag. Probably will get one in him before he even gets to the room. Come on, Paul, do a shot. Do a shot. Yeah, it's just going to be awesome. And then a couple more of my buddies fly in the following day. We pick them up at the airport. We go straight to the game, to the legendary confines of whatever the fuck in the name was. It Touchdown Jesus Stadium? I have no idea. But I've wanted to go there for a long time. And I have a weird thing with Notre Dame where I always wanted to go there when I was a kid. It was impossible not to be a fan. You know what I mean? They were on TV all the time. It was the Fighting Irish. I got some Irish blood in me, although I'm mostly German, but it was Fighting Irish. You know, I looked like the mascot minus the beard, right? So it's just like, you know, I got into it. So I, for some reason, I wanted to be a lawyer, right? It's probably because I wanted to be in front of a crowd. I have no idea. So when I was in junior high, I wanted to go to Notre Dame and go to law school and become a lawyer. That's what I was going to do. And by the, I had that dream right up until the first day of freshman year in high school. And by the end of my freshman year, I was considering going to Wentworth Institute in Boston and getting into construction. I'm not going to get into the details of it, but let's just say it went off the rails. Went off the rails quick, you know? I basically, if you could somehow, Ryan Leaf's NFL football career, if you could just slide that over to academia, is that a word? To academics, that's what happened, you know? And in the end, you know, halfway through my freshman year, rather than screaming at a reporter, you know, I was probably yelling at my mom. I don't get it. I don't want to do it. It's stupid. Well, you have to study or you're not going to go to college. I love that. Get your grades up so you can go to college. It's like, go to college. I can't even handle high school. Fuck are you talking about? It's like sucking at the college level. Hey, try a little harder so you can get to the NFL. It doesn't work that way. It does with academics. Right? You can get way in over your fucking head. Next thing you know, you're in a major you don't even want to be in and all of that shit. You got to get the fuck out of it, right? So anyways, I absolutely, who's kidding you? I completely just, I fucking tanked. I tanked. You know, like when they say like the coach lost the locker room and he can tell the team's just not out there trying. You know, that was me. I lost my whole drive. Somewhere during my junior year, I was just like, you know what? Am I going to summer school again this year? I might as well just have a good time. I remember in math class, I used to get like my test back and I'd get like a 7. It was always a funny number. Bill, what'd you get? I got 75. I got a, Bill, what'd you get? I'd be like, I got a 9. I remember getting a 17. I got an 11. Like everything I got on the test, like were like quarterback numbered jerseys. I got a Burt Jones. I got a Troy Aikman. I got a Steve Grogan. And who's 17? Dandy Don Meredith. Was he 17? 17's a tough one. I got a Roethlisberger, which is also Burt Jones. That's number 7. Raymond Bork. Right? Back then, my freshman year of high school, that was still a Raymond Bork. Until my sophomore year, somewhere around then, he changed to number 77. And speaking of the Bruins, here we go, Bruins, here we go. I fucking love this team. All right? It sucks that because of salary cap and whatever other reasons, they had to get rid of Hamilton, Lucic, and all these guys, Tyler Seguin, all of these fucking guys over the years. I'm literally watching my own team, and I have, like, the Bruins NHL site opened up onto the roster so I can figure out who's who. And I'm not going to lie to you, you know.
Oh, we had some rough ones, you know.
Winnipeg, we got pounded. Actually, we did okay for the first, you know, half of the game, and then just went off the rails. Same thing happened with the Canadiens. And then we jumped out to a 2-0 lead against Tampa Bay. And right at the end of the period, we let up two quick ones. And, you know, and then the rest of the shit happened. And then, I don't know what. So, anyways, last night, we finally played the fucking the Avalanche. And we fucking jumped on them early. We stayed on them. And we got to that 10-minute period in the second period. I was just like, going, all right. Please don't fucking implode. And we got all the way right to the end. And then we took a fucking double minor. And they scored a fucking goal. I think at that point it was like, it was either 3-0 or 4-0. Then it became 4-1. Then it was 5-0 something, 5-2. And I thought, you know, in the third period, I thought we were going to fuck it up. But we didn't. We hung in there. We got our first victory. And Jonas Gustafsson was in net. And I just want to say to Bruins fans, don't jump all over Tuukka. I know he let in a ton of fucking goals, but also we had a bunch of new guys. And, you know, don't do that Boston thing, that New York thing, that East Coast fucking thing where you're only as good as your last fucking game, where, forget the fact of all the successes that these guys had. Same thing with the head coach and everything. So because there's so many new players, what they did before the Bruins game is what I wish they would do before every hockey game. If anybody connected working with the NHL is listening, if you want to get people a little more on board, every other fucking sport does this. Before the fucking game starts, like if you're watching a baseball game, they'll just be showing the whole baseball field, and then they'll just put the names of all the players of where they're at, and they'll do it for both teams, and then they show the lineups, you know? They give you a chance. They do it in football. Offense is on. They show the offense and they show the other team's defense, and then the other people get the ball. Same fucking thing. For some reason in hockey, where it's going 90 fucking zillion miles an hour and you have substitutions happening while the puck is still in play, for some reason they never fucking do it. So before the Bruins game, they did it. And this was what our lines looked like. They had our first line was Erickson, Bergeron, and Conley. Then we had, I didn't even know how to say it, Bolesky, Krejci, Pastrnak, and then Kelly Spoda, Hayes. Oh, Jimmy! He had fucking 4 points last night. Then it was Ronaldo, Kempainen, and Talbot was our fourth line. So then, you know, I started looking up the numbers, and I'm able to get on. I'm all caught up. I still haven't watched the Winnipeg game. I'm watching that today, so I'll be all caught up. And hopefully I heard Brad Marchand is starting to skate with the team again. So I'm fucking psyched, and I think they're playing well. You know, we just had to learn to kind of, I don't know, we weren't getting physical with anybody. We're just sort of skating the fuck around. And we'd let up a couple of goals, and then we took a bunch of penalties. I got to tell you, though, our power play looks like shit, though. Our power play looks like shit, but we're great at killing penalties. God knows, you know, if you take 90 a game, you get pretty good at it. You get a lot of practice. I think we took like 7 or 8 when we played the Canadiens, but anyways, I'm on board, you know? I thought this was going to be a brutal year. Like, if the last few games is as bad as they're going to play, I'm watching every fucking game. I can totally handle it. And it's going to be interesting to see what they can do. If we can maybe add. We don't have a guy who's going to score like 40 goals, I don't feel. I mean, maybe we could if they start to gel, but we just don't have anything like that on our team. But I was liking we were taking a little bit more less shit, you know. Our defenseman McQuaid's always good to fucking clear somebody out. So's Chara, obviously. But we'll see how the rest of this goes down. But I'm fucking psyched. I'm psyched, but I'm going on the road here for like 2 weeks, so I got to figure out how to use that that shit where you can watch the game. Oh, you know, I'm going with Bartnik. Bartnik will show me how to do it. You know what I feel like right now? I'm not even doing a podcast anymore. I'm just sort of talking to myself as I'm packing. I apologize. Let's get back to the podcast here. So whatever. We got our first 2 points. We're not in the cellar anymore. And I'm actually debating getting the NBA package this year, too. I might start watching the Celtics, too. You know, my marriage will suffer if I get both. If I get both of those going and the NFL, you know how fucking happy I'm going to be? Do you know how upset my wife's going to be? This is how cool Nia is. You know what she got me the other day? She got me this thing that makes round ice cubes. These giant round ice cubes that you stick in your drink for when you're having a little liquor. And she only got me one because she wasn't sure if it was going to fucking, if I was going to like it. And I absolutely love it. So I've been making them all day. You know, what the fucking movie was it? Was it Goodfellas when they were making like the eight balls? That's what I'm doing, except with ice cubes. And my goal is to have it all filled up. These round ice cubes, you know? Oh, shit. I just came up with a brutal idea. What you could do with those. Kids, do not do this. Well, I think everybody listens to this is too old for a snowball fight. Remember back in the day when you fucking hated somebody, you made the old ice ball. Everybody's throwing snow and then you'd fucking put some ice in the middle of it. You always took that one either to the fucking side of the head, took it right to the temple, or you took it in the kneecap. One or the other. It always caught you right on a fucking bone. It was never, you know what I mean? You got this giant fucking winter coat on. You're wearing basically a flak jacket. It would never hit that. Comes sailing right in, and you got your stupid knitted cap with the pom-pom on it. By the way, could the NFL make those hats any fucking bigger? How dumb did Tom Brady and, Cameron Crowe there that plays for the fucking Panthers look? That giant stupid hat on. Both of them. Tom Brady and Nate Newton. What the fuck is his name? Oh, God damn it. What the fuck's the name of the guy? He played for Auburn. He won the Heisman Trophy. They said he was cheating. Is it Cameron? I fucking don't know. Anyways, both him and Tom Brady, they have like movie star good looks, right? The two of them. But he put those fucking hats on them. It's like they're wearing like they're adults. Oh, hang on a second. Hello?
Hi, I'm good.
Hey, I'm doing the podcast. I got you on speaker. Say what's up.
Oh, hi. What's up?
All right. I'll see you in a minute. Bye. Anyways, why did they make the hat so fucking big is my big question. Oh, speaking of NFL football, if I can just dance all over the fucking place here, because I'm so excited to go on the road. My ADD is just flying off the fucking rails here. To the point, just because I said that, I just forgot what the fuck I was going to talk about. NFL football. The Patriots are playing the crying Colts. The Indianapolis crying Colts. They're playing them this weekend. Andrew Luck's hurt, though, so we'll see. We'll see what the fuck happens. I would, you know, if we beat them or whatever, I'm not going to fucking talk any shit because I'm not going to be like, you see? Because I know Luck isn't 100%. So that's the thing, too, about the Patriots. It's like, we got this gaudy record, but I don't feel like we've played anybody. You know, the Steelers weren't the Steelers, right? We played Jacksonville. They stink. We played the Bills. You know, they're still trying to find their way. And then we played the Cowboys without Tony Romo. So here we are sitting on 4-0. You know, I don't know. I'd like to see how we do against, like, the Packers or something. The Giants are starting to come on. Fucking Eli Manning. Oh, my God. If we never see Eli Manning again in the playoffs, you know how happy I will be? I'm telling you, the football gods love that man. I got in this big debate with Paul, and I was going, dude, he's basically Drew Brees with the defense. He's not as good as Brady. He's not as good as Peyton Manning. He's going, dude, he's fucking gangster and all this shit. And what it really was is, I know the guy's the shit. What it was when the way that the Giants beat the 49ers, was it last week? I've been running around so much. The way that they beat them made me have a flashback to when they beat us when we were undefeated. It was the same fucking thing. I watched Eli throw a pick to lose the game, and I watched it get dropped. And you do not want to give that man a second chance. Who's kidding who? Eli gets a lot of the fucking credit, but it was their front four, man. Their front four. Strahan and all those guys kicked the shit out of our O-line. Brady played the game fucking running for his life. I mean, that had a lot to do with it. But Eli also made the fucking huge plays. I don't want to see that guy again. I just, And you know what's funny? As far as he's going, like, dude, you know, even the New York media, they keep jumping on the guy. They're always jumping on him. You know? He's like, look at Brett Favre. Brett Favre threw a bunch of interceptions. You know, blah, 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 all this shit, you know? And he goes, they just liked him because he was a hick. And I was like, dude, Eli and Brett Favre, if I'm not mistaken, are from the same state. Aren't they both from Louisiana? This is the deal. The problem Eli has is mechanically, he's not as good as his brother, even though I would take him in the playoffs over his brother, I think, for whatever fucking reason. He's just had more success. And the reason why I think people jump on Eli, the man just does not look good in a football uniform. He doesn't look good. When he puts the helmet on, he just doesn't look good. You know, and then when he's out in his street clothes, you know, he's walking around wearing like action slacks and a fucking sweater, you know, parting his hair on the side like he's still in the third grade. It's like he's asking for it. I don't want to blame the victim, but the man is fucking asking for it. However, I do think he's the shit. And if somehow it works out that the Giants get healthy, you know, JPP, you know, comes back, right? And they somehow, you know, have a better record, or they go in and they beat Green Bay in Green Bay and we face them in the Super Bowl, I'm telling you right now, I am not watching it. I'm not sitting through that again. I know what you're thinking. Jesus Christ, Bill, I think you're a fan of your team. I am. I am a fan of my team. But how many times can you get fucking slapped in the face before you don't start wincing first, you know? Although, it would be great to come back and try to avenge those two. God, we fucking gave it. Didn't give it to him. We gave him two opportunities. Asante Samuel dropped that pick. Brady to Welker. 3-yard pass. Those two fuck-ups allowed Eli to become a legend. All right? And I'm not taking away from Eli because he had to fucking deliver. And he did. Oh, my God. It makes me sick to my stomach thinking we're going to play the fucking Giants again. Jesus Christ. You'd think winning four of them, you could fucking walk it off and be happy. But no, I'm actually going to try to do a podcast with Rappaport right after we play each other. And nobody talks shit like that guy. If you guys listen to him on Stern when he does the fantasy football thing, Rappaport is out of his fucking mind. So, Giant fans, if you guys win, you're going to want to tune in to his podcast if I'm on there. Patriot fans, you're going to maybe want to take up cycling or something. You might want to skip that one. Anyways, I forgot to bring it. You know what? I forgot to bring it. Did I bring up the DraftKings thing? I love talking about these guys because I love that people thought that they were going to fucking somehow. You know what? Do you realize that sports stadiums have like DraftKings little fucking like booths there? Or things there, at least, is it just their advertising? There's no way they have the booths at the stadium. I have to look that up. Because if they do, they're literally the sports book. Let me look this up. DraftKings, needless to say, they're never going to fucking advertise on this thing anyways. And I can't help it. I can't not talk about this. This is fucking fascinating. All right, DraftKings booths at stadiums. Probably booths isn't the right thing. VIP experience, Gillette Stadium premium seating. Nah, that's not it. Maybe they just had, I saw somebody showed where they had like one of those, what do they call it? An awning. And it said DraftKings on it. It's like, there's no way you can walk up. That'll probably be like the next thing, but whatever. I think I told the story the last time about the, that thing on FanDuel where the guy worked on Wall Street and said, you know, I'm quitting my Wall Street job to try to win $1 million on FanDuel. And then of course he does. Of course he does, right? Because that's all you do. Just, you know, pick your players and then pick up your cash. Simple as that, right? So the guy wins a fucking $1 million and then quits. I'm to believe that this man walks away from a six-figure job to take his $1 million earnings that are now about $480,000 after taxes, and he's now going to take that and invest in his new business of gambling on football, and that he's not going to end up being homeless. Anyways, I feel at this point I'm just fucking beating a dead horse. I always hated that fucking saying, beating a dead horse. It's like, oh, is it okay to beat it when it's alive, you cunt? You know? Remember back in the day when me and Verzi were talking about what you would do if you had like a time machine? I think I just figured out what the fuck I would do. I would go back in time and I would fucking abuse people abusing animals. Well, then again, if I was going to do that, then what about human beings, Bill? You going to go in there and try and stop slavery? You know? Go back and try to give the fucking Native Americans a little heads up? What the fuck are my reads for this week? YouTube video, what happened to Canada, Hollywood Improv. Your dispute has been escalated to a claim. What the fuck is that? Disconnect. What the fuck is the fucking... Oh, Jesus Christ. Oh, I'm in the wrong one here. I'm in the wrong account. Why do I have so many accounts? All right, here we go. Sorry. Jesus Christ. You guys, just walk it off. Go make yourself a sandwich. In a couple of seconds, I'll get back to the podcast here. Come on, come on, come on. Ah, there's the reads. There's the reads. All right. Club W. Club W. Tear. Don't you hate when wine looks like a 10, but it winds up tasting like a 6? Or even worse, when you walk into the store to pick out your wine, you could easily be fooled into a situation just like this. Well, now, oh, just like this, meaning the thing before. I thought you were setting me up for one. Yeah, I'd like judge wine by the label, and I refuse to buy any wine that has the name of somebody. I'm not buying Paul Newman's fucking Sierra Mist. Whatever the fuck you call a wine. You know, his Barolo. I'm not doing that. It's like, dude, I'll buy your fucking dressing. I'll buy your popcorn. I know it goes to a good cause, okay? But I'm trying to get fucked up here. All right? It has to be somebody famous that's like notoriously a fucking drunk. Like if the guy from USC, if the coach, if he put out a wine right now. Although winos, man, they'll drink fucking $2 bottles. So fuck that. That's a bad thing. I don't know. Anyways, well now, there's this new wine club, Club W. Fool me once, shame on you, fool me again. You're not going to fool me again. They've changed everything. No more being fooled by wines that pretend to be hotter or tastier than they actually are. It's easy. Just go to clubw.com and answer 6 simple questions. Their algorithm creates a palate profile just for you. I don't feel like they're explaining this right. There's like a zillion different kinds of wines. How the hell do you know what's good, what's bad? I personally judge it on how much it costs or how cool the label looks. You know what I mean? That's no way to do it. These guys will say, what do you like in your wine? They come up with a formula, right? Just take out your cash and they'll pick out the wine. This is the DraftKings of fucking of fucking wine. Okay, so they come up with the algorithm and a palate profile just for you. Then they just send wine directly to your door, perfectly customized to match your taste. Club W, Tear, is leading the grape-to-glass wine revolution. They work directly with the vineyards to cut out the middleman, which saves you a lot of moolah. So with Club W, you get premium wine customized to your taste at a third of what you'd pay at the store. Forget about all the bottles you buy that you actually think stink. They even have a no-risk, 100% guarantee that you'll love what they send you. And right now, Club W, I'm a war president. Club W is offering my listeners 50% off your first order when you go to clubw.com/Tara. Hola, amigos, Club W. So stop wasting your time and money messing around at the retail stores and start drinking wine you know you're going to love. Just go to clubw.com. Daddy, I learned how to speak Spanish. clubw.com/Burr to get 50% off your first order. That's clubw.com/Burr. That's just as hard. You know, I wanted to try a different beer, and there's like a zillion of them. I can't get into these things. Like, you know, Ugly Dog, Go Fuck Yourself Ale. They always have these cool names, and then you drink them, and they stink. You know what I mean? All of that fucking, you know, Angry Vineyard, you know, Fuck You Orchard, all of that stuff. Crazy Mike's, Donkey Punch, you know, Ball Bag Brew, all of that stuff. The Hoppy, you know, Honduras, whatever the fuck it is. None of it's, you know. You know what I bought that absolutely fucking sucks? I bought Guinness's Blonde Ale. I'm telling you right now, if you ever just wanted to buy a six-pack, have a sip, and then dump the rest in a sewer, that is the beer for you. I love Guinness, but Jesus Christ. That's a classic stick to what you know there, Freddie. All right, identify the pain of hiring. Oh, ZipRecruiter. All right. As a business owner, your company is only as good as the people you hire. Posting jobs in one place, it's not enough to find quality candidates. Short staffing leaves little time to post to dozens of job sites. Jesus Christ, what do you do? Well, you can position ZipRecruiter as the solution. Or am I supposed to do that? I don't understand this copy. Just send me the copy and stop telling me what to do. But to position ZipRecruiter as the solution. Don't know what to do? Go to ZipRecruiter, everybody. You can post to 100-plus job sites with one single click. Be instantly matched to candidates from over 6 million resumes. Plus, watch brand-new candidates roll into ZipRecruiter's easy-to-use interface within 24 hours. ZipRecruiter has been used by over 400,000 businesses. Insert approved user testimonial. I think this is for, like, a professional show. All right, I'll do one.
I had a job. I was selling lemonade, and I had to take a leak, and then nobody was selling lemonade, and this guy came up in a Ford Ranchero. He slowed down, then he kept going, and I was thinking, shoot, that could have got me 35 cents. I need someone else to help me. So then I went to ZipRecruiter, and I said, hey, who wants to work a lemonade stand? Next thing you know, over 40 of the most pathetic individuals I've ever seen in my life who actually thought that over the age of 35, working at a lemonade stand was a good deal. They got to me, and I was able to hire 9 of them, and that never happened again. I piss and shit whenever I want. Thank you, ZipRecruiter.
All right, call to action. Today, you can try ZipRecruiter for free. Go to ZipRecruiter.com/Burr. That's ZipRecruiter.com/Burr. One more time. Hey! ZipRecruiter.com/Burr. All right, let's get back to the podcast here. What do we got left? Oh, my God, dude, I'm so fucking excited to go to that Notre Dame game. All the drinking. We're gonna drink a bunch of beers, smoking the cigars, being a douche, rooting against... Oh, no, I'm gonna root for the Irish. You know? I'm gonna root for the Irish over fucking USC. I never liked USC. You know, if they just had one more fucking song that the band could play, I literally think I could make the USC band playing trumpet. If you gave me fucking 6 weeks, I could learn how to go 58 fucking times a quarter. Not the most creative people there down at USC. You know what I mean? I don't get it. They got the money, you know? All right. Okay, we got to wrap this thing up because I got a bunch of shit I got to do. So I'm actually going to be on the road. And when I'm done doing this shit, did I mention I'm going to be on the road? I'm actually running down to the grocery store and I'm going to make some pumpkin bread because every year I make it for my fucking neighbors. You know, and I don't get back until November, the beginning of November. So I'll miss Halloween. So I'm going to knock out a couple of loaves here, make like 4 or 5 tonight with my round ice cube fucking whiskey going. Oh, it's going to be the shit. It's going to be the shit. I haven't smoked a cigar in well over 2 weeks. I am so ready to fucking go. I swear to God, I'm ready to run to the fucking airport. Ladies, do you get this fucking excited? What gets you going like this? There's got to be something. I know it is. There's no way you go through life not getting this excited. I'm meeting 5 of my favorite guy friends in the fucking... Like, I have women friends. I don't have any women friends. 5 of my favorite friends in the fucking world to booze, smoke cigars, and go to the Notre Dame USC game. One of my buddies is going to be on my fucking flight. It is going to be a wire-to-wire shit show. I can't wait. Oh, we're going to be bleary-eyed by the time we get to Fort Wayne. I'm really looking forward to Fort Wayne, too. And I understand some of you guys, if you can't fucking make it, because the Patriots are playing the Colts at that time. I get it. What are you going to do? That totally makes sense. So anybody who's showing up to that thing, God bless you. God bless you. You know what I mean? I might even go out and take some fucking pictures with you afterwards. I should fucking do that. You know, I should do that in Fort Wayne. You know what I mean? Go out there amongst all your drunks. You know, you come up to me hammered, spitting in my face, not meaning to, and then I got to wipe it off. Oh, dude, I'm sorry. Did I get you? You know? I might even go out there. I might even go out there. Usually what I do is I go right back to the fucking, the same thing you would do. You're done with your job. Are you going to go hang around for more job? Or are you going to go out to your car and start drinking? That's what the fuck I would do. It's a no-brainer. All right, I'm sorry. I'm being a cunt here. Oh, Bill, you really going to grace us with your big fucking head, you cunt? What makes you think we're not going to drive away, you arrogant fuck? I don't know. Anyways, let's wrap this up here. Before I go, Lamar Odom, everybody, man. I hope for some reason he pulls through. And thank God he's actually at this point surrounded by Kardashians and that film crew to let him know that they really care so they can get all the crying on camera. So they can fucking get some ratings. Jesus Christ. I heard that's what they're doing. That better not be true. That poor guy seems like the nicest fucking guy ever. As I'm sitting here glorifying going out boozing and shit. Jesus Christ. I hope the guy pulls through, obviously. So that is it. Oh, can I end on that note? That I guess it wasn't negative, but it's sad. I'll tell you all right, I'll tell a happy story. This morning, I hadn't flown, done the helicopter thing in well over a month, so I had to get down there because I knew I was going to be gone for another 2 weeks. I didn't want to get too rusty. So I did a flight this morning, and it was just like no one was up there. It was so fucking clear. It was one of the sickest flights I've ever done. I transitioned through LAX's airspace, like 150 feet off the water, flew right over these guys sitting on surfboards. I was so low, I could actually look, and I saw a father telling his son to look up at the helicopter as we were going by. Made a right turn at Santa Monica Piers, flew right over, right up Santa Monica, right by the UCLA campus, and then I went over to the Fox lot where I just had some acting work, flew right over where we were shooting. And then I flew back over to where my house is, did a lap around the top of my house, and then went over to the Rose Bowl, did a lap around that, did a low approach at El Monte Airport, straight out departure, and then landed back at fucking Long Beach. It was the shit. I'm so happy I did that because it was getting to the point. There's that thing where you don't do it for a while and you start getting nervous again, like, oh, fuck. Do I remember how to do this shit? So, I don't know. Maybe this is only appealing to people that that have a pilot's license. But I got to tell you, like, the fucking privilege to be able to do that and the feeling you get when you're up there is really indescribable. It's such a cool thing. But I get nervous, like, about making the call when you got to go through Bravo airspace because you got to have total fucking 100%. They got to read your whole tail number. This is one of these things where they can say you have clearance, but they don't read your whole tail number. And then you got to say back to them your whole fucking tail number or else you're in trouble, even though they fucked up. You know what I mean? I don't want to get in trouble. That's what I have the biggest nightmare of. I don't even have anything about the engine cutting out anymore. You know, I've done enough of those auto rotations. We did a few more today. We only did one, but I did a great job, simulating engine failure. Granted, I got a nice long fucking runway to pick out. You know, it's funny, when we were flying today, they were doing the earthquake drill at all of the schools. So every school I flew over or flew near had a bunch of kids standing out in the field, which was unsettling because those are the places you're looking like, if I have a problem, that's where the fuck I'm landing. And you look down, there's a bunch of kids there and you're like, all right, now I got to try to put it down on the street. And there's all these wires and the fucking traffic lights and all of that shit. But it was an unbelievably clear day. And it was also cool out. It wasn't hot. Flew with the doors off. It was the fucking shit. It was awesome. So anyways, I don't know what the fuck I'm babbling about here. And I'm sure I was all over the map and I was probably talking too fast here, but I'm excited to do this tour and to do the run through the Midwest. Once again, we're going to be doing Fort Wayne. We're doing Cincinnati, Columbus, Cleveland, Pittsburgh, Milwaukee, Chicago, Minneapolis. I might have forgot one in there, but we're tearing all the way through the Midwest. And we got Lawhead with us right through Columbus. He's not doing Pittsburgh, but he's doing he is going to do Cleveland. And the after party, by the way, the after party in Cleveland, if you guys want to hang out with us, is going to be at Hilarity's Comedy Club. They got the martini bar. We're going to be going there after the show. Nick Costas, one of my favorite people in this business, the owner of Hilarities, and he used to headline me there when I would draw like 30 or 40 people. So whenever I come to town, I always make sure that I stop by, say hello, and thank you to him. Whenever I go to Pittsburgh, I always make sure I say what's up and thank you to Randy Bauman, WDVE, who built me up in that market, you know, big-time hockey fan and all that type of shit. He always breaks my balls about the fucking Patriots being cheaters and all that shit. So a lot of good stuff to be looking forward to coming up. And once again, thanks to everybody who's bought tickets. And that's it for the Thursday afternoon, Monday morning podcast just before Thursday. Here's some throwback shit for you, and I'll see you out there on the road.
It felt like yesterday we were meant to stay, living like nothing wrong could happen. I still recall the time you were on my mind, monopolizing each and every second. Thinking I should know how it's gotta go, cause nothing is made to last forever. Hardly moving on, the proof is in the song, remembering how.
Dearest William, my college roommate has been dating his fiance for 2 years. He's a really nice guy, so he tends to get walked all over. Jesus Christ. I have to read that again because there's so much. That right there is something that every guy needs to hear. He's a really nice guy, so he tends to get walked all over. I'm not saying you have to be a dick, all right? But you got to stick up for yourself. Okay, here we go. Even before they got engaged, I had heard rumors about his girlfriend being a bit of a whore. As his friend and her pretend friend, I attempt to give her the benefit of the doubt and ignore the accusations, as did my roommate, who had also heard the rumors. Unless she was drunk and got out of control and belittling him, we didn't mind her too much, aside for her trying too hard to be one of the guys. Okay. Recently, now this one I'm fucking up reading because he's naming all names. Recently, Ebenezer called to me and said that Tabitha had kissed a guy at a bar. And that, recently the fucking potential groom called up to say that the fucking, his fiance, Hua, had kissed a guy at a bar and that they were postponing their wedding and starting fresh. I was depressed to hear that he wasn't dumping this bitch, but whatever, not my choice. At least he knew about it. So after starting fresh for what seemed to be the fifth time, it appeared that they were working it out. Of course, this is when things go completely off the rails with one phone call. Another friend, who knew nothing about the cheating kiss that happened a few weeks ago, tells me that a friend of his from college was told by his whore fiance that she would break off the engagement if he gave her a chance just fucking yesterday. What? Well, why can't she just open up her mouth and break it off? Anyways, the source seems reliable, but it's still just hearsay. All of his friends now know, but somehow the potential groom doesn't. There is no easy way to bring this up to him, so I'm up to hear any advice. Thanks for the podcast and the podcast select. Hope you see you perform again soon. Oh, fuck. All right. You got to make a call here. You gotta decide whether or not you're prepared to put your friendship on the table, because why don't you want to tell him this shit? Basically, because you're worried that he's not going to believe you. He's going to flip the fuck out. And then he's going to go ahead and marry this whore anyways, and the two of you aren't going to be friends. I got to tell you this, dude. It's going to make you sick to your fucking stomach to watch this guy go through this shit. Let's say you keep your mouth shut and you stay friends with him. Then you're going to sit there and you're going to watch this girl fuck around on him. You know? I don't know why guys choose to do this. Women don't. If women see a dude fucking around, they go right to their girlfriend. Oh, my God. Oh, my God. He fucking, I saw him, blah, 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 blah. And they hug and they say, I'm sorry. I'll be there for you. You can do better. And they try and fucking, for some reason, guys, we can't do that. I don't know what it is. I don't know if it's because it's an ego thing. You can't handle that your girl's been fucking around.
But, dude, you got to tell this guy. You got to tell this guy. Fuck this girl. Don't let another fucking whore go out there and take some guy for all he's worth, because this bitch is going to get knocked up and this guy's going to be into her for 18 fucking years financially. Okay? And just like that other guy said, where is the goddamn justice? All right? What you need, sir, is a clear conscience. You have to say something. All right? And just tell him. Just tell him. Say, look, you're going to hate me for telling you this, but as a friend, I have to tell you this. I can't sit back and hold on to this information. I got to tell you, and I support whatever decision you want to make. And all you got to do is just tell him the facts without calling his fiance a whore. Don't say that. Just say what you know, and then that's it. And tell him, dude, I really think you need to dump this girl. You can do way better. And that's it. If he gets fucking mad at you, he gets mad at you. And if he cuts you out, he cuts you out. But you will not have... You won't have a guilty conscience. It won't be weighing on you. I'm telling you. And I don't know. Some other people say, you know, mind your own fucking business when it comes to this stuff. I don't. You get in there and tell them. If one of your buddies is going to marry a whore, you got to tell them. You got to tell them. I saw that happen to a guy I know. I saw it. Saw it fucking happen. It was fucking it was horrible. It was horrible, and I was younger, and I didn't fucking say anything, and then the whole fucking thing unraveled about 15 years later. It was just awful. Fucking wasted a decade and a half of his goddamn life. Looking back, should have said something, but did not. Did not. So, I'm telling you to do what I didn't do. So, if you don't, I can't judge you because I didn't do it either.
I used to
I brought a video camera with me this weekend. I forgot my little tripod stand. I forgot to tell you. So this fucking audience member. This audience member. You know what? You don't want to know why? How I just remembered the audience member. If you want to get an idea how my brain works, I just realized that I forgot when I said tripod. I was, you know, those little mini tripod things. I was picturing setting up my video camera, and then I immediately imagined fucking somebody in my room. And then I thought about this girl this weekend who came by who had the most phenomenal titties I've seen on the road in a long time. Yeah. And then that took me to being in the bar and this what this douche said. All right. So I'm hanging at the bar. Right. I'm drinking what the fuck was I drinking there? I was drinking cranberry and soda. All right. The girl with the phenomenal tits is showing how she can do that fucking Hulk Hogan thing. So everybody's watching. It's phenomenal. And then this guy goes, hey, Bill, come on. I want to talk to you for a second. So I'm like, all right. Yeah, why don't I talk to you instead of watching this girl fucking move her D-cup titties as I drink a cranberry juice? Do you understand, sir? I'm not drinking anymore. You know, I don't fuck around. So this is my own little innocent thing that I can do to make it somewhat exciting to be here in Columbus at the mall. Anyways. So I walk over to this guy, you know. What, because I'm a nice guy? Because I'm generous? No, because I have a need to be liked. So I walk over and I start talking to this guy. And he starts asking me 9 million fucking questions about doing stand-up. Like I'm on, I even said at one point, like, dude, what is this, Inside the Actor's Studio? And he goes, no, you know, I just want to do some good. And I finally just said, dude, are you thinking about doing stand-up? And he said, yes. He's sitting there with his wife. So I say to the guy, I go, just write 5 minutes of shit you think is funny. Go on stage when they call your name. All right? You'll figure it out from there. There's no way. There's nothing more I can do. It's not like, I don't know, teaching somebody how to change the oil. It's like just something you have to just jump in the deep end and just hope you don't drown. It's just, it's the most fucked up thing ever. to try and learn how to do. Like, if you learn how to play guitar, you can take guitar lessons and you can get to a certain level of skill before you actually try to take it out at a party and play in front of other people. But stand up, you have to, the first time you do it, you have to do it on a stage while people watch you. It's unreal. So that's what I'm trying to explain to this guy. He's sitting there with his wife. He's telling me that he's a banker. And he actually said that a lot of shit that I say is hitting the nail right on the head. So I'm sitting there talking to this guy, and all of a sudden these two other ladies come over. All right? That was part of that other crew of people, the girl with the fucking titties that she was making moves. She goes, "Hey, we're leaving, Bill. Thanks for the show." I said, "Hey, thanks for coming out. See you next time we come here." And then he says, "Hey, Bill, how long you been with your girlfriend?" Just out of the blue. And I just went, "I don't know, 5, 6 years? And then it got all uncomfortable, and then they left. And I'm thinking, why the fuck did he ask me that? Right? And then he says to me, he goes, "Oh, sorry about bringing up your girlfriend. I just wanted those girls to leave because I wanted to keep talking to you." And his wife just looks down at the table like, Jesus Christ. And for some reason, in my head, I was like, did he think I was fucking hitting on those girls? Why the fuck would he do that? And then I just realized, it wasn't until later, I just realized what a fucking manipulative dirtbag fucking move that guy was doing. And then I was thinking, thank God he's thinking about doing stand-up. Because the fact that he's a banker and is going to handle other people's money, I don't know if he's an investment guy, I don't know what. But that's like the kind of guy that will make old people eat Alpo and not even give a shit. You know, watch, he'll become a comedian, he'll probably end up stealing jokes. God damn it, I wish I could just teleport myself back to that moment in time and just tell him what an absolute fucking piece of shit move that was. You know, embarrassed him in front of his fucking wife and then left. Just a fucking... Oh, it was so fucking slimy. Yet effective. It did fucking work. I guess you were right when you told me I would probably one day be sorry. But you know I'm not the kind to beg for second try. Just chalk it up to another lesson learned. And let it set our end if I ever love again. Remember now, I used to feel alive. I used to want to. I used to be alive. All right, dear Bill, I am from Kansas City. And there is currently radio commercials in which a law office offers their services exclusively for women going through a divorce. Of course they do. There's a ton of money involved there. They talk about how they review all of the husband's finances and ensure the woman will receive the maximum amount the law will allow. And then he writes in capital letters, "What the fuck?" Are there any law offices that offer services exclusively for men? I doubt it. If there were, I would imagine there would be a huge protest from feminists all across the U.S. I know you've addressed this hundreds of times over, but why is it okay to completely fuck a man over? This commercial insinuates the man is already in the wrong. This is absolute bullshit. Dude, you preach on. This guy's speaking the gospel here. Anyways, wanted to share this with you as this is just another example of man-bashing commercials that just piss me off. All right, let's review this. Yeah, okay. First of all, you can't get mad at the lawyers because they're just going where the money is. And as you say that if it was the opposite way, that there would be feminist groups protesting. All right, that therein lies the fucking problem. Until men actually get together and start protesting that type of shit, which I would absolutely love to be a part of on any fucking level. I would love to see that happen. But we're guys, we don't do that shit. Once you get punched in the face, yeah, fuck you. You get up and you walk away. Like, you can't do that. Like, yeah, there should be guys protesting it. I think that would be fucking hilarious. That's absolutely terrifying.
That's one of 9 million reasons why I never got fucking married. That is just unfucking believable. You know? And I'll tell you what kills me is most women who would watch it, they always say the same thing. When you're like, you'll say to them, like, can you believe that shit? When they always say that same, yep, that's right. That's right. Yeah, that's what you get. That's what you get. Ugh. Big stupid face. What the fuck have you ever done? That's my whole thing with that. It's just, I don't know. You get married, you just better pray to God it fucking works out. As a guy, that's all you have. And the amount of power, it's not a balanced relationship because of the way that the divorce laws are. It's the second, you know, it's like when you're single, you have an unbelievable amount of power as a guy, even if you're in a relationship, because she can't get to you legally. That's it. It's fucking over. You have your shit and that's it. And you're a guy and you can earn a fucking living. And that's it. You don't have to worry about shit. And then the second you get married, you lose all power. Because at any point, she can just divorce you and fucking take you for everything you're worth. Everything you work for. It's fucking over. Look at Tiger Woods. Tiger Woods gave his wife $250 million. She was a nanny. Fucking nanny worth, what, 9 figures. For what? He had a prenup where she was only going to get $5 million. Only $5 million. Who here wouldn't kill for $5 million? I quit my podcast for a fucking 200 grand. You know, you find out your husband's some dog going around cheating or whatever. That happens to women. And the guy's a broke-ass son of a bitch, and they're left with nothing. So it's not like women always make out. But here's a situation where you find out your husband's a dog, the marriage is over. Oh, but I get $5 million. But that's not enough for the cunt, because she knows he has $1 billion, and she wants to get as much of that as she can. I swear to fucking God, I can't do these topics because it makes you see red, because they're not entitled to it. It's bullshit. All right? If you marry the greatest golfer of a fucking generation who's won 14 titles, okay, and you haven't even won a game of tiddlywinks on a professional level, you're not entitled to that money. You're not. You are legally, but you're not. You didn't fucking earn it, you cunt. All right, there you go, Bill. Get to the core of the hatred.